Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Digital Adoption Podcast. As always, my name is Sean Boyce, where we help all people with all things in the software world. Today, I want to welcome my guest, Sarah Fearson, who is a passionate technologist and has a strong interest in how automation is going to change the world. Her background includes leadership development with a focus on emerging technology. Hello, Sarah, and thank you for joining me.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So before we kind of jump in, if you could give for both myself and the listeners a little bit of background on you and what you are up to currently.
Sure. So, you know, I spent a large part of my career really in technology as a software developer and had an epiphany at some point that that probably wasn't my calling. And I was working for PwC at the time, which was a great place to explore and figure out what I did want to do. And I did a whole bunch of things, but kept on coming back somehow to technology. And I ended up there in a technology role. And prior to that, I had been running a leadership development program that had really been focused on helping some of the PwC partners become more digitally upskilled and understand emerging technology. For the last year, I've been working with UiPath, which is an RPA company, leading RPA companies, and I actually now work in a business development role back working with PwC, helping them help their clients in the space of automation.
Very cool. That sounds like a lot of very interesting experience. Let's dive in some more there.
Absolutely.
On our podcast, what we typically talk about is right helping people get better at using software. You've already mentioned some of the work that you've done there, in particular for executives and leaders. What is your best advice on this topic?
This might be a little odd, given that we're talking about how to help people be better with software, but my best advice is to not worry about getting better with software. I think that automation is moving so quickly. You know, there's a mantra we say, which is everything that can be automated will be automated. And I think that's true, and it'll be true pretty soon. One of the things that I used to do when I worked for PwC, and in fact, I still do some of, is teach people storytelling. Both storytelling as a leadership skill, storytelling so that their presentations are more engaging. And one of the last storytelling curriculums I did for PwC was actually around a whole digital upskilling program that they are still involved with. And what I loved about them asking me to do storytelling is that if you're trying to digitally upskill people, it's not immediately obvious why you would get someone to teach storytelling. And I think the answer really is that as we all become more digital and things become more automated, what's left? What is it that at least for now, computers can't do? They can't do the very things that make us human, at least for now. Storytelling, empathy, creativity, innovation. I mean, they're definitely starting to encroach, you know, on some of those spaces. But for the most part, those are very human things. And I think that if you're looking around at your company as automation starts to really take hold and say, where's a job for me tomorrow? What should I be doing? You should be focusing on the things that the computers, the automation isn't going to do anytime soon. So building relationships, how to be a more engaging presenter, those are very human things. So I would say focus on the soft skills more than anything.
I like that a lot, and I'm going to tell you why. First, I'm going to plug the fact that when you mentioned right, what can't be automated kind of thing, I have a software engineering background. And as part of that, if I ever had to do something twice, I automated it.
Yeah, that's
so
what I did.
I know exactly where you're coming from. Yeah. But I love the fact that you've talked about these soft skills and empathy and really how the software enables people to focus on what the software can't do, right? Because software, at least so far, like you well articulated, is not smarter than people. It's faster, right? So how do we use it as a tool to help us get better at all the things that we want to accomplish, right? There's plenty of things that we can focus on. Talk to me about, in your work, how you help people see software as a tool and not like the be-all, end-all, end-game.
You know, it's an interesting challenge, particularly in the automation RPA space, because people can feel very threatened by it. And, you know, you're right. Software can do things more quickly. It can do things 24/7. It can do things, for the most part, more accurately. And what it can do is it can really free people from doing the things they can't stand. You did something twice, you automated it. It's like we all do all these tasks every day in our jobs, unless we are unbelievably lucky, that are boring and manual and repetitive, don't add a lot of value to our day. I mean, you know, those are the kinds of things I normally put off to the end of the week if I can help it, you know, and then I just sort of sit down and say, oh, I guess I have to do these things. If you could automate all that and take that away, you could be left with the things that you enjoy. And so I think, you know, part of upskilling yourself is saying, what are the things I enjoy? What would I like to do if I didn't have to be doing, you know, invoices all day? And really focus on those things, because the odds are those are things that are going to add value to your career, add value to the company you're working for, and generally make your day happier.
You had mentioned before innovation, yeah. Right? Companies are always trying to be more creative. Great creativity and progress comes from that innovation. And what you just articulated paves the way for that, right? Yeah. So if software can automate those repetitive tasks that we don't need to do over and over and over again, and we want to put our creative stamp on things and kind of move the innovation needle, software is a great way to kind of leverage what it's good at in order to enable us to be kind of better in all of those ways.
Yeah, in order to let us be better at what we're good at. And I think that's really the thing. It's that, you know, and what's interesting, and there's no doubt automation is moving, you know, there's all sorts of memes out there about how quickly automation moves and how quickly technology moves. And there's no doubt the pace of change is quicker than ever. But it's also true that when you look at things that we take for granted now, like using Excel, I remember when I was a kid, my father doing spreadsheets with bits of paper and a pencil and an eraser. And, you know, I don't think anybody misses those days. And this will just be a different kind of change.
Agreed. You know, it's funny. I was talking to someone just the other day about how like you mentioned, Excel, right? I'm fortunate, unfortunate, old enough to remember when they changed in a dramatic way the menu in the Office suite of products from the traditional like file menu structure to the ribbon menu they refer to it now. And I talked about how, because in the product work that I do, I focus very intensely on the user experience. So for myself, it was rather counterintuitive to switch from one to the other, right? Go from one system that I had known so well to what they had updated to. But when I talk to people like 10 plus years my junior, they love the ribbon menu and it is super intuitive for them. And it really just started to make perfect sense for me. As like, that's clearly them building for the future, right? Yeah. And my perspective is not their perspective. And as such, that helped me think about it in a better way.
Well, you know, it's interesting. One of the other things that PwC really focuses on in its digital upskilling is design thinking. And, you know, design thinking's a very interesting field. And, you know, this idea at heart of being people-centric to the things you do and really solving for people's pain points. And, you know, clearly, when they redesigned that, they thought that through. I mean, you know, it wasn't necessarily speaking to your pain point, but it was stepping away and looking at the general user experience. And that, of course, is an interesting other thing that, you know, people are particularly equipped to do. You know, way back in my career, I used to code in HTML and I trained people to code in HTML. And really, there's not a whole lot of need for anybody to create a website in HTML anymore. There's software to do that. But what you do need people to do is design a user-friendly experience. And that's a much harder thing to automate. So it's those kinds of skills.
Absolutely. User experience being so important.
Yeah.
I give this example all the time in Craigslist. And I say, because the people that I'm working with that are helping building software, they often want to make it beautiful before they make it functional, right? And that's great and all, but it gets away from delivering the value. So you think of a tool like Craigslist, that's crude forever, right? Yeah. But it does the job, gets the job done. So that function, that user experience, if you nail that, you'll be happy that you did. So I'm glad you mentioned that as well too. You mentioned design thinking, which is excellent. We could talk about that for days. But I do want to talk a little bit more about what you had mentioned previously, which was focusing on developing soft skills to get better at making the most out of using software. Can you talk a little bit about that topic and what you mean by it?
When I go back to the idea that PwC was getting me to teach people in a digital upskilling class storytelling, you know, they had me do it for a variety of reasons. One was that they have very big focus on data and data visualization and how you tell a story with data is a very interesting topic. I mean, it's not just throwing it into Tableau and doing a graph. You can tell very different stories depending on the visualization, and understanding what the story is and what narrative looks like is very important. When you think about a data scientist, soft skills is not what immediately comes to mind, but I think it was really telling that they got that. The design thinking, that is the heart of design thinking lies the most human of emotions, empathy. So encouraging those skills, learning those skills, you can't necessarily make yourself more creative, but you can certainly work on techniques for understanding the creative process and certainly giving yourself the time and space to be more creative, to be more innovative, to think about how new ideas bubble up. You know, again, those are things that are not going to be automated anytime soon. So are well worth growing as your own personal development.
Excellent. And I think it certainly can't hurt in any way, but does often make software and its experience much, much better.
Absolutely.
Thinking about it in that way. So I'm glad you reiterated that.
Yeah.
Another one I want to ask you about too, which I've heard you mention a few times, and this comes up often in our space as well too, is storytelling. Right?
Yes.
And I think that gets closer to, I think the technical translation to that is really the user experience. Telling a great story and having a great user experience are probably synonymous. So I'd love to hear you elaborate a little bit more about storytelling and its level of importance in software as well too.
You know, I think storytelling is important in everything we do. I mean, when I start my storytelling class, I tell a little story. And my point really is that we're all storytellers. We all tell stories all the time. It's amazing how many people walk into classes and say to me, yeah, I can't do this. You know, they've all seen the TED talk where someone does it well. They're like, I can't do this. I'm like, everyone can do this. This is how we communicate as human beings. Go on a date, you call your mother, you know, you come in Monday morning, we tell stories. And I think what all people really need to learn is how to take that natural storytelling talent and, you know, shape it and craft it, do some self-editing, not everybody's comfortable with public speaking. Not everybody's written skills are the same. So you can hone those things, but you're right. I mean, storytelling pervades everything we do when we really think about it. And if it doesn't, it probably should, because we as humans respond to narrative very strongly. It's the reason, you know, the Bible is written in stories, and you know, you can go down the line of where humans respond to stories well. If you want people to remember data, if you weave it in a story. So thinking about how do you take that natural affinity we have to stories and that natural ability we have to be storytellers and apply it through some of the maybe less intuitive areas. And I think software is a really interesting one for that.
Couldn't agree more. My background includes engineering. I've always, before I learned about basically everything that you just described, and I'm by no means an expert in it, I'm always trying to get better. Storytelling, what has become an area of something for me to work on that I've used more and more in my work is describing what it is I'm trying to communicate, especially for an audience that isn't as familiar with it from a technical perspective, using analogies and stories.
Yes.
Comparing it to something that they are familiar with. And instead of saying I help turn around software companies, it's like flipping houses, but for software companies, right? Many of us have watched HGTV, so that connects with them quickly, almost too quickly, where they're like, I know exactly what you mean. That's a very interesting way to describe it. So that's really the power that I think you're talking about
really,
when it comes to storytelling. And it's software is no exception, right? It should be incorporated in the process as well, too, to create that great user experience.
Well, no, it's interesting. Back when I was a software developer, I think I was a decent software developer. I don't think that was what I was born to do. But I quickly found that what I was born to do was to be the person who interfaced with the users and the business, I guess because I'm good at storytelling. And, you know, software developers, software engineers have maybe a somewhat justified, you know, stereotype as being more introverted, maybe not being the best communicator. And I was good at that. And so my ability to translate the technical back and forth to users and business, and then to bring that narrative back into the software development group and talk about that was a very powerful one. And again, that goes back to the very human things.
I had a similar experience to you when I was a developer as well too, in that it was interesting. I liked solving technical problems, but where it fell down for me was it was less engaging because I didn't get to see who benefited from that value. Yeah. So what has been way more interesting and something I'm much more passionate about is interacting with users, getting to understand their challenges and figuring out how we can build solutions to their challenges and then seeing the effect of that. Yeah. That has made me so much more passionate about the work that I do. So that's definitely speaking my language there. In fact, I would ask you, how did that journey go for you? How did you ultimately find out what you were ultimately more passionate about and then make the jump to it?
You know, it's interesting. I mean, as I said at the beginning, I always knew software development in its, you know, most normal form of, you know, sitting and coding wasn't my thing. And I'd had various roles where I'd had a chance to be more of that intermediary with users. And my last software role, which was my first role at PwC, I did more and more of that. And then got a chance to actually do a 6-month stint in their innovation group, which really took that to another level. I was someone who understood technology, could talk about technology, but got to be creative and help other people in their innovation and creativity. And that was really when I realized this is a journey I have to keep going on.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing. And this has been a fantastic time spent for myself and our audience. I'm sure I will get plenty of traction from it because this topic is super popular these days. Two other questions I have for you, the first of which is, what resources would you share with myself and our audience in and around these topics for us to do some kind of follow-up self-study?
Great. When I first started wanting to learn about storytelling, sort of the grandfather of storytelling as a leadership skill is a gentleman called Steve Denning, and he has a bunch of really good books on this topic, and anyone who wants to start thinking about storytelling, that's a great place to go. There's some really interesting writing and even videos about what makes a good TED talk. And I always point people in that direction, particularly when they're trying to do storytelling as a presentation skill. Because I think understanding that people don't just stand up and tell a TED talk and sound great. You know, everything is practice, everything is thinking through narrative. I think those are great resources. I myself write on the topic of sort of technology and society and the impact that they have on each other. I normally write for a blog called Three Quarks Daily, which I think we'll give the link at the end. So, you know, if you're interested in my writing, I've written a lot of sometimes tongue-in-cheek items about this, but I do think about these topics a lot.
Thank you for sharing. And yes, definitely, please, I'll get those links from you and we'll include them in the show notes for anybody who wants to do some more follow-up. Last question for you, who should reach out to you and how can they get in touch?
LinkedIn's probably a great way to get in touch with me. You can also email me, sferrison@gmail.com. But LinkedIn, I mean, I always love connecting with people. So that's how you and I connected, in fact. So, you know, LinkedIn. Who should get in touch with me? I think if you're interested in storytelling, if you're interested in automation, you know, I really enjoy doing this podcast with you today. Someone wants to have me do something like this again, I'm always happy to talk to them. So I would say if you're listening to this or watching this, you're probably someone I would be interested in talking to. So reach out.
I think that's the best way I've heard it put yet. Nicely done. Thank you so much for taking the time, Sarah.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you, Sean.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Digital Adoption Podcast powered by Next Step. If you or anyone you know specializes in learning and development for software or digital adoption, please have them reach out to us to learn more about being a guest on our show. To learn more, email me at sean@nextstep.io. That's sean@nextstep.io. Thanks and keep adopting. We'd like to take this time to thank the sponsor of our show, Next Step Consulting. Want to know what the right next steps are for your B2B SaaS business? Are you trying to scale and reach the next level but you're stuck? We can help. To learn more about how Next Step can help your business reach its goals, email me at sean@nextstep.io. That's sean@nextstep.io, or visit us on the web at nextstep.io.